focus on your employees and they'll focus on your customers. It's the same thing. Now focus on your audience, your potential prospects, and they will focus on you. It's that same thought process, but now we're focusing it externally instead of internally.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by giving you new ways to think and renewing your mind. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Amanda Fry. She is the COO of Talent Crowd, and she is a caring and transparent technology executive. That's rare, so we're talking to a unicorn, with 17 plus years of diverse experience in organizational strategy, DevOps, people ops, and product development, probably a few more ops in there if I had to guess. She is also the author of Kind Transparency, How to Say What You Mean Without Being a Jerk, Something I Desperately Need, and it is set to release end of Q3, beginning of Q4. Of 2023. So if you're listening to this in the future, stop what you're doing, pull your car over, get on the Amazon or wherever you need to order books, or if it's, we have floating cars, I don't know how to do that. But buy it and make your life better. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to know what is on your mind.
Oh, so many things, right? I think we all have about a million balls in the air at any point. But I think what has been really prevalent for me recently has been social media. And I'll tell you why. And, you know, not only because, you know, we're marketing, we're trying to get out there, but the biggest thing for me in social media right now is just how monotonous, I guess is the word I would say it has become, and how, you know, everything is so bland and everybody's saying the same thing. And, you know, people are putting out very, you know, obvious things and they're getting thousands of likes and comments, and it's just exhausting, right? Trying to keep up with this algorithm wheel that doesn't make any sense and it changes every day. So one of the things that I've been putting a lot of thought effort into is how do we make that different? How do we make that better? How do we, how do we change that dynamic so that people realize that this isn't okay? Like, we need to help each other. We need to be out there actually having real conversations, being genuine and providing value to each other. Even if we're not doing a business relationship, how do we provide value to the people that we are, that are in our network, that are in our community? I mean, like, you and I are a perfect example. We used to do business in the past, but we don't today. But that doesn't mean that I don't still derive a lot of value from the things that you're putting out there in social media. So that's the kind of relationships that I want to continue to have. And that's what I want to build, even beyond Talent Crowd or Kind Transparency and all these other things that we've got going on. But what do we do to make the whole establishment more genuine? And I guess that's what's been on my mind recently.
That is one that's a, I love where you're going with this. It's a wee bit of a soapbox for me as well, or less soapbox, more just angry rant. but because I look at the generic posts of like, hey, do good things, less bad things. And it's like 17,000 impressions. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? That was the most empty, worthless thing, but people engage with it and you hit a certain point and it's like, well, I don't want to not like this and miss that. Like, I don't want to seem like I don't value that. So click, you know, reaction. That's a huge thing to tackle, because I would venture, I guess we're trying to tackle the core of humanity. We tackle big things on this podcast, so I love that you're taking us here. We're going to 300,000 foot view, so we're in outer space. We'll get some helmets. But what do you think is behind the monotony, that hollowness, the shallowness, the lack of rich, meaningful relationships? I mean, obviously being face to face is always the most rich of any communication medium. But it's certainly not the only way to have an engaging relationship. Like you said, we're an example of, like, we've stayed in touch. We've communicated. We've engaged with each other's content. Yet we've never been physically in the same space before, but it's not something that's like, hi, how are you? I'm great. How are you? And like, you're just BSing your way through it. So what's behind sort of that steam engine, that heavyweight that's just rolling down that it almost seems impossible to stop?
You know, and I think that's the ultimate question, right? It's what is causing this? How did we get here? And I think some of it, or maybe a good portion of it, has to do with, you know, the algorithm game that's being played in social media today. And I think that it has a good, or it had a good thought, or it's meaning to be well intentioned, but it's just become so big and so complex that people are gaming it. Or, you know, the goal of an algorithm, right, is to incentivize behaviors that we want. And it is not incentivizing behaviors that we want. It's just being manipulated to elicit likes and comments and better viewing, better, you know, placement. So I think, I mean, there's a good portion of it, I think, that has to do with that. And it's no one's fault. I think it happens so fast and it's evolving so quickly that, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do, unfortunately. Right. So I think it's more, you know, it's about changing hearts and minds at this point and getting people to realize that, you know, collectively, if we all start doing things a little bit differently, then the algorithm organically will change. And I know that's like, you know, it's like moving a steamship, but you know, we got to start somewhere. Right.
Right. Yeah. It was a journey of 1,000 steps, or 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Now, I agree with you, and that made me think of a quote that I've heard, which is marketers ruin everything. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. And if you're a marketer and you don't believe that, you are delusional. And feel free to mention me or email me about your thoughts on that. But the gaming of it, I certainly think that there are some benefits to understanding, oh, hey, if I write this in a certain way, it's more clear. It is more engaging. It should incentivize, when we're writing copy or creating videos, it should incentivize and reward a level of excellence in doing that, to where not everybody can, you know, spew, you know, half-hearted content or ideas just because they have access to the internet and a keyboard, right? That's sort of the beautiful thing about the internet and social media that I tell a lot of people, is it gave everyone basically a voice. The terrible thing about it is it gave everyone a voice to some extent, because we no longer have to sit and think and process through our thoughts before we put them out there for God and everyone to see, read, and engage
unfiltered.
With,
yep.
Right. Is unfiltered rarely in any context has a benefit. Now, I don't care what you're talking about. It could be the internet and communication. Could also be, you know, like water, like filtered water is good. So if we're changing hearts and minds, which albeit is far more difficult than just say, well, let's just change the algorithm, because that doesn't even really account for people. What do we need to do, those of us who are in leadership? Because if you're in leadership, you have a disproportionate amount of influence. So you hopefully you have a one to many. Like if you think you're a leader and you turn around and no one's following you, you might want to reconsider that title. But for those of us who are occupying a place of leadership or just social influence, what parts of that unproductive thinking of I'm just putting stuff out there, I'm just putting my ideas out there, I'm gaming the system, all those unproductive things you mentioned, what do we start to think about so that we can address these things head on, as opposed to the feeling of hopelessness, which, you know, I've wrestled with, like, there's no way I can change this. I'm one person, right? And, you know, I don't have 74 million followers. I'm not Katy Perry. For many reasons, I'm not her. But where do you start thinking about that so that, one, you don't lose hope, and two, you have the right conversations with people? Because it could quickly become, hey, stop being stupid and contributing to, you know, all the bad things, right? Because people aren't going to move and change because of that.
Yep. So I will preface this by saying that I have a disproportionate amount of optimism compared to most people, I think. So you'll have to bear with me on this. But
your neon lights gave that impression.
Did it? All right. So I think what we can do as leaders, or what we should have, or what we have a responsibility to do as leaders, is really make sure that we're looking at what we're doing and making sure that it even makes sense. Now, the other piece of what I enjoy, or what I really strive for as, you know, a leader and a, you know, a business person, is data. Now, data is something that is concrete. We can look at it. We can, it tells a story, right? So I can say all day long, like, hey, this stuff that's out there is crap. But if the data supports it, then it's not just me saying it's crap. It's not my opinion. We can prove it. So, you know, one of the things that I like to make sure that we look at when we're sending out email campaigns, or putting out a social media campaign, or putting out anything out there in the internet, we should be tracking it. We should be tracking engagement. We should be tracking opens and likes and clicks and all of the things that we have access to, because that's now how the internet works. So if you're putting out content or emails that are just boring, and just like every, you know, if I get another email that says, hey, I was checking out your profile, like, no. Just don't. It's not working.
I eventually I'm going to give in and get that PMP certification. It's just, they're wearing me down.
Right.
I'm so, one incoherent pitch away.
I will say, though, it's worth it. Maybe the incoherent pitches are working, but I digress. What we can do is, when we're sending, if you're a leader and you're sending out these bland, boring emails that make it sound like they're coming from a salesperson, but they're automated, take a look at your engagement. How many emails are you sending? How many emails are getting opened? And how many emails are actually getting responded to? I'm going to venture to say that your funnel probably is pretty wide. It's starting out here and it's very, 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 very tiny at the bottom. And that can be proven with data. So if you are not getting a successful return rate on your engagements and your campaigns, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. And we just went through this internally ourselves. We were sending out those kind of emails because that's what you do, right? That's what everybody says you're supposed to do. It's not working. It, in some cases, was doing the opposite. It was turning people off because it was too much. You know, there's a balance between how many emails do you send? How often do you send them? How long do you wait in between? And if your content is boring and vague and like everybody else's, it's going to make it even worse. People are going to hit that spam button, right? And now your domain is going to get flagged. You're going to have deliverability problems. So if you're looking at this from a, you know, how do I use this from a leadership perspective to make my business better, but also change the industry? That's how. I'm making mistakes. I need to change what I'm doing because, A, it's not working, so it's not in my best interest, but it's also not in the best interest of the people that I'm trying to reach out to either. So I need to make my content more engaging. I need to, you know, if it's the middle of the day and they're opening an email, I want them to enjoy my email. I want them to laugh. I want them to be happy that we've had this kind of engagement, because otherwise, that's the first impression that they're getting of me. That's the first impression that they're getting of my company. So we need to do that not only on email. We need to do that on social media. We need to do that everywhere, because it's just like if I walked up to you in person, you know, if we're at a conference or something, if I walked up to you and said something weird like a robot, you'd be like, who's this crazy person? Get away from me. So why do we
notice we have people in common? Perhaps we should be BFFs.
Yeah, like... Why do we, if we wouldn't do it in person, why are we doing it on social media? Why are we doing it in email? We need to be more genuine. And I think that that's going, I don't have the data yet. We haven't been doing it long enough, but I think it's going to resonate better. And I think we're going to make more genuine connections with people. And even if it doesn't lead to more business, I think it'll lead to better community.
Whoever's listening, rewind the last like 30 seconds and just put that on a loop. or play it in your next, executive team meeting or marketing meeting, because I think that'll steer you in the right direction. That may be worth the price of admission. But two questions come up. The first one was what you mentioned about data. Does the data support it? Here's where data is not good or bad. It just is, right? So long as it was, there's integrity is gathered accurately. Let's assume that. Let's say, going back even further in our conversation at the beginning, when you mentioned, hey, somebody put something out there with zero depth and quality, yet it has, umpteen thousand data points associated between reactions, comments where people go, yeah, that's good. And they're like, you didn't add to the conversation there, individual. So thank you for that. They have data that says, well, people are engaging. Therefore, it must be worthwhile. But I think the other side of that tension is what you mentioned about, is it good for my audience? Right? Because so much of marketing that I've been a part of with working in the digital agency space is, well, what's good for the company? Not always like what's clickbaity for the audience, right? What can we do to get them to give us our engagement, our hit of dopamine, but not necessarily what helps them make progress. So how do you help people think through, well, I have data that says, 15,000 people on average are going to engage with this repost of an Adam Grant quote. But maybe that's not really the contribution they should be making. It's not adding quality. How do you hold those intentions?
Yeah. So I think when you have, that level of data, that also tells a story too, because then when you add those pieces of metadata to bottom line. So if you take, I've got 15,000 engagements and I've got 200 comments on this post. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at a date stamp. What was our bottom of funnel during that time period? Did I have people come to my website? Did I have people fill out a form? Did I have people do any of my call to actions? Did I have anybody set up a discovery call to talk to one of my salespeople? And you can take, when you have large amounts of data that seem good, but you're not getting the type of reward or response or whatever your end goal is, like you always have to have that. What am I actually trying to accomplish from putting this content out there? Typically, from a company perspective, you want to get discovery calls. You want to get more business. You want sales. From a personal perspective, I want to get more followers. I want to get people to eventually buy my book. Like, so what is my end goal? And if the data that I'm seeing and the engagement that I'm getting isn't driving towards that end goal, then something is still wrong. And you're getting kind of the example of the email. You're getting a lot of opens, but if you're not getting responses, if you're not getting meetings set up, then it's not successful. So you have to do something differently. So same thing with the social. Yeah, sure, you're getting tons of, the fear of missing out, right? The FOMO. I don't want to be the person that, doesn't like doing good things, so I want to click this, but I'm not going to that person's website. I'm not reaching out to set up a meeting with that person. I'm not buying something from that person. So sure, they got like you said, the dopamine hit, but it really wasn't, there was no value derived from either person. I didn't get anything from their content and they didn't get anything from me.
Something I've been thinking a lot about is what's my point of view? And that's something I've read. Obviously, I've known that from some of my marketing background, but how do you think about taking a point of view? And how do you do that in a way that's not just a point of view for point of view's sake, right? Like, I'm just, for shock and awe, I'm going to take a controversial stance and that's going to put us on the map, whether we believe it or not, because we'll get discovery calls. How have you thought about that with this reboot, this rethinking that y'all have been doing at TalentGraph?
Yeah, so I think that kind of comes down to, and this only isn't only important in social media and marketing, right? It's also important for you as a company and you as a brand to really understand what is your mission. Every big company out there has a mission statement. And yeah, it's a nice thing to have and it's a nice thing to share with new employees, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason that we need to understand why are we here? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish and why? And if you can answer those four things in, you know, whether it be a mission statement or our, you know, our core values as a company, then that's where you start. And if what you're doing isn't toward that effort or towards that goal, then you probably shouldn't be doing it, or you're doing it wrong. So I think everybody needs to step back and say, why am I here? What am I doing? And what is my end goal? And then everything should be towards that mission.
Gotcha. It sounds like you're saying that your marketing and messaging need to have need to be in alignment and integrity with the mission and values of your organization, 100%. Not just picking the flavor of the month to talk about.
100%. Because if not, it's not going to be genuine. You know, it's not going to. It's not going to resonate. And the actions that you take as a company, if they're not in line with your voice, so your brand voice is really what you're creating on social media and in your marketing campaigns. If your brand voice isn't in lockstep with the actions that you take as a company, then people aren't going to believe it. People aren't going to trust you. You have to, you know, it's just kind of like who you are as a person. If the actions that you take don't match the words that come out of your mouth, no one is going to take you seriously. And the same thing is true for businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because marketing, especially in a larger organization where it's, you know, I'm solo. So I'm the chief everything officer. I'm marketing, sales, service, janitor. But marketing often creates a promise that sales then has to back up, and operations or delivery has to deliver on that. And if any of those go rogue, right, it creates that sense of mistrust, which I would say right now, brand reputation is at an all, like the necessity of it is at an all time high, simply because of the things we're talking about, where the social media and marketing channels are flooded with things that we're now feeling are very insincere, and skepticism, cynicism, I think are higher than they've ever been.
Right. And it's so easy to damage your brand reputation. It's one thing. And it's so hard to come back from it if that thing happens. And so, I mean, you just have to be really, if you're being authentic and you're being genuine and something happens, at least you were true to yourself and you were true to your brand. Right. But if you did something just to try to keep up with what you think is going on in the market, then you've done yourself a disservice.
Well, what do you say to the entrepreneur, the leader, the brand that says, well, I don't really know that we have a quote unquote controversial point of view per se. You know, we're in agreement with some of the things that some things have become bland just because of repetition, right? They are meaningful and they may even be good, but their repetition has turned them from, you know, signal to noise. What if they don't feel like they have a hot take on a situation or an audience or something like that? And they say, well, we are being authentic and true to our values and our mission, but it doesn't seem like it's going to stand out.
Okay.
What do you say to that company?
Yeah. So that really comes down to your value proposition, right? So if you don't have, you know, a unique take on things, you should have something unique that makes your company important, that makes your company valuable. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody buy from you? Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, I mean, as a company and as a sales organization, you need to kind of take a couple steps back and say, well, why would somebody want to buy my services versus buying them from ABC company, right? So if you don't have that, you know, unique brand voice, at least have a brand voice that evangelizes who you are as a company and why somebody would want to buy from you. Maybe it's, you know, testimonials from your customers. Maybe it's reviews. Maybe it's, you know, charitable contributions. Maybe it's community involvement. Like, you're doing something as a company that makes you unique. I hope.
Right. You know? Right. Otherwise, you know, you, like you said,
maybe it's not going to work out for you.
Maybe you shouldn't be in business, or you should be in a different, you know, business. It's one of those things that I'm curious on your experience and thoughts on this is with having a particular point of view. Is that something you think people know what their point of view is, and there's just some fear and trepidation in vocalizing it publicly. Like, it's one thing to say in a sales conversation or one-on-one. It's another thing to put into a marketing campaign or a post where it's exposed to everybody. You don't get to filter that. Or is it something that you think can be or needs to be cultivated and sort of discovered? You know, where do you sit on that, you know, spectrum or that issue?
Yes. I mean, personally, I think that I would sit further on the edge of that spectrum, because I'm very much all about being authentic and genuine and mm-hmm. completely transparent about who you are. Right? right. And, you know, obviously saying it in a way that isn't going to offend people, but you have to be who you are. So Talent Crowd, you know, we have a very loud brand voice. We have very loud colors. We have, you know, yes, you do. Cartoons. We've got all this stuff. And we, you know, we had a discovery call, and the guy had told us that our website looked like a 13-year-old's birthday party. And I love that. Like, that was the most, like, validating thing that he could have possibly said, because I was like, yes, you know what? Because that means that we're being ourselves. I would love to do a 13-year-old birthday party. But that means that we're having fun. That's exactly, you know, yeah. We're having fun. We're, you know, we don't want to be every other stuffy website out there that has that, you know, generic blue color that, you know, just talks about, oh, technology, digital transformation. Like, no, there's a reason that we're out here doing this. And if we can't have fun while the work is hard enough, the market is hard right now. If we can't have fun while we're doing it, then mm-hmm. what's the point? Right. And we want to, you know, we want to show we have really great people and they're awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we call them unicorns, and we do that for a reason, because they're really, really good. So if I could play on that in words, so I do think back to your point, it's like, it is something that you have to find. Like, your brand voice is in there. You just have to think, like, stop and think about, you know, how do I feel about this thing? If somebody said this to me, what would my gut reaction be? And just sort of curate that over time, because, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, if somebody would have criticized something I was doing in that way, I might not have reacted in the same way. But, you know, as you get more confidence and you start to build and curate that who you are and really find out who that is, then that stuff will bounce off. Right. And once it starts to bounce off, you're like, okay, well, this is me. This is who, this is who we are.
Right. That's really good. I love the 13-year-old's birthday party. So now, like, everybody rush, go look at Talent Crowd's website. And if you need a little bit of fun and whimsy in your day. But I think with that, discovering it, is that something, because clearly most people are not discovering that, right? Like, those that are getting a disproportionate reward in the marketplace. Right. Like, they're the ones who get a lot of engagement. They're seeing their businesses scale. They're, you know, a lot more lean in terms of how many people they need to hire, which is great for profit, sustainability, like longevity, which everybody wants, you know, especially after seeing what COVID did to, you know, destroy so many businesses simply because they were on razor thin margins and, you know, one speed bump, like, broke the car apart. So when we're thinking about that, because it is so vital and important, is this like solitary work for a leader or even a group of leaders to kind of go off and reflect and ponder some things? Is it better to bring an outside party that can be objective and really ask them questions, right? What's the way that people can start to discover that? Because I think if people already knew, they'd already be doing it in droves, right?
Yeah. So I think it's kind of twofold. So you could absolutely bring in somebody external to help you with that. But sort of the downside is you're gonna get some of that person's brand voice in it too, because no matter what, they can't turn it off, right? Even the best designers, the best copywriters, they still have a style. So I think where you start And especially in an organization and as a group of leaders, everybody's got to be on the same page. Because if I come and say, hey, I want confetti everywhere, and nobody else wants confetti, like that's, you know, it's not a good feeling, and it's not going to be a good, you know, cohesive thing for our leadership team. But if we go into this and say, we want confetti, then it's like, this is our thing. We're going to have confetti. It's going to be awesome. And we're all on the same page. So that way, when we go to that external person, the copywriter or the designer, we have a vision and we are all on the same page. So when we're having these conversations, you know, me and Josh and everybody else in the organization, we're saying, we want this exact thing. We want superheroes. We want, like, and so we're passionate about this vision that we have, and we're all on the same page. So now that designer, that copywriter can say, I see it, I get it. And now they're curating it. They're making it better. They're doing their subject matter expert work with the vision that was given to them versus coming in and them trying to make a vision for you.
That's really good. So it sounds like you would advocate for a both and, but the order of operations is sort of that solo work, or at least small group if you have a leadership team, to get clear on your thing before you go in, so that you're not just tossed to and fro by whatever happens in the room that day, or the voice that expert brings, even if they try to remain perfectly objective. You know, they can't stop being a human, right? There's always, a bit of a filter.
Yeah. And then the other downside of that is even if they did bring you like some great ideas, you could end up settling because, hey, this designer, this copywriter brought me this great idea. And I'm like, yeah, I really like that. But is that me? Is that us? Mm. And so there's a risk in that as well.
Right. So having clarity, some level of clarity, maybe not perfect clarity, but some level of clarity on your own ideas and where your voice may be going can help you filter some of the ideas that are brought to you. And it's not that they would bring bad ones, but like you said, is it me? Is it us?
Yep.
So I'm curious, in doing that, in adopting, finding, discovering, and adopting your brand voice, sounds like that's or point of view is critical. I think the other thing I heard you say repeatedly is this a benefit to my audience or our audience? Right. Yeah. So it's taking the focus off of me and my bottom line. Certainly I care about, you know, I'm in business to make money and I'm not ashamed of that. Right. Sort of thing. Like, let's take that. We're not saying that, but there is an other centered perspective shift that I think you're saying. Those seem like two critical elements to make good on what you described at the beginning of changing hearts and minds.
Yeah. So
is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so, the big push was, you have to take care of your employees, because if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers, right? We all learned that. I think it's the same thing here. If you're taking care of your audience, they will take care of you. So if you're focused on providing value to the people who are out there engaging with your content, that are getting your emails, that are seeing your social media, if they're getting value and they're feeling, you know, reciprocation from what you're doing, they're going to reach out. They're going to remember you. They're going to schedule that discovery. They're going to engage when it's time. They're going to recommend you to somebody else. So it's very much that same dynamic, but instead of us now focusing internally, you know, there was a time where people didn't care about their employees, and, you know, we all had to learn that, right? Like,
These are people. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Not widgets. Gotcha.
Yeah, so focus on your employees and they'll focus on your customers. It's the same thing. Now focus on your audience, focus on your potential prospects, and they will focus on you. So it's that same thought process, but now we're focusing it externally instead of internally.
That's really good. If somebody hears this, and again, we're tackling something at a huge level, it's like, let's change humanity, which I'm all for. And I do have optimism for that. And maybe I'm on there's the top of Mount Stupid, the like Dunning-Kirk or whatever thing of like barely any information. but you got maximum confidence. Maybe I'm posted up there with the flag and binoculars, but I'm all about making a dent in the universe. So I love talking about these sort of things and having someone else to talk about it with too, and not see my friends and family's eyes glaze over. So that's refreshing. But if somebody who's listening to this says, yeah, I want to help do that, I want to be a part of that and what we're talking about, but it does feel enormous, how can we shrink that and help somebody take a baby step in the next 24 hours, something very simple that would get them started on the path to doing that? What would you recommend to that leader?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple things you can do that is like a bite-sized chunk, right? So I think the first thing is, you know, looking at where you're at today in your social media. So the data, if you're not collecting that data already, let's make a plan to start collecting the data. Look at your post engagement, look at your email engagement, your open rates, your click rates, at least make sure that you're capturing it. I've seen a lot of companies that don't have the ability to see open rates or click rates or deliverability or any of that stuff. So at least make sure that, hey, step one, let's start getting the data if you don't have it already. If you're there, great, awesome. Step two, take a look at the data. What is it showing you? What story is that data telling? These are all things that you can do in a couple hours, right? You know, set up a meeting. Look, you know, what does our funnel look like? You know, we're sending this many emails, we're getting this much open rate, we're getting this click rate, and you know, our bottom of funnel is this. What is that curve? So that's another quick, easy thing. Then if you're already doing that, okay, well, how successful are you? What are your goals? You know, that's another thing you could do. You could sit down and you could really identify, do I have a mission? Do I have, you know, a statement of what our goals are for all of the stuff that we're doing? And if not, sit down for an hour or two and talk to your team about, well, why are we even doing this? What are we trying to accomplish? And if the things that we're doing aren't in line with those end goals, then we need to make a plan. So, I mean, it's a lot of little bite-sized things that, you know, if you add them all together, eventually you can kind of get to this picture of, this is where we are, this is where we want to be, and this is how we can slowly start to transform that to be the kind of company that we hoped that we would be.
That's really good. There's I'm sure there's plenty of resources you would recommend as well. A couple that came to mind. I mean, obviously, like if you have trouble getting data, I mean, every platform offers some form of that. So you can find that. If you have trouble like pulling that and getting the reports you want, I do recommend get a free account with Databox. You can pull things in, study it. It's beautiful, pretty graphs. So if you like pictures, you'll enjoy that. And then just the clarity piece, you know, if you have some tools, I'd love to hear your recommendation. There's a book, Clarity Field Guide, that I would highly recommend. It'll ask you some questions, some that'll make you mad. And I say that because they'll ask you to go deep on that. But, I'll link, to a tool that I share with people that does go through some of the clarity of like, what am I the only app? Where really am I going? What's, you know, the hedgehog concept from good to great. Yeah. Some of those questions to help find that intersection of the different pieces you feel and think about your business. So I'll link those up as well. Are there any tools that you found helpful for these sort of processes?
No, I think like some of the books that you mentioned are really, really good resources. I think if you have trouble really identifying who you are or what your brand voice is, there's a lot of different really good authors out there who have defined that. So for sure, read as much as you can. That is always my recommendation.
Right. Although to be fair, my wife tells me that Audible does not count as reading, and we argue quite a bit about that. I was like, I consumed it. It's knowledge in my head. Like, who cares? But I don't know. I get defensive every time it gets brought up. I was like, I drive a lot. I can't just read a full book while I'm driving. Not yet. Not yet. I'm waiting. Fully autonomous cars. Amanda, if people want to know more about you, more about Talent Crowd, I would love you to do sort of like the blurb of what even is Talent Crowd. And then for your book, where can they be looking, or where can they go ahead and buy it if they're listening at the appropriate time?
Yeah. So I guess first blurb on Talent Crowd. So we are a technology consulting company. We also do a lot of staff aug and placement, but ultimately what we are is a platform. So we build a community of really awesome technology consultants that span every aspect of technology. So we've got data engineers, we've got software engineers, we have quality assurance, project management. I kind of like to think of it as, you know, the scene in The Lion King where Mufasa's like, everything that the sun touches, it's everything, everything that technology touches is what we do. And, you know, even if it's niche or kind of off the wall, or you just need help thinking through a problem, like anything as it relates to technology or consulting, we're here for. So we are happy to talk to anyone. On the book side, so Kind Transparency is the name of my book. It kind of is going through my management style and the many years of experience that I've had just in the corporate environment and sales and marketing, and really understanding that, you know, to be successful, you have to engage with people, and people can be difficult. And I understand that, but, but it's, you know, there's value in taking the time and really being genuine and authentic to who you are. And as you do that with other people, you build trust. And that's how you get the most out of your team. If you're a leader, it works with your family. It works with your neighbors. If you have something to say, say it. But there's a way to say it. You have to be kind. You have to, yeah. You have to be authentic, and you have to be able to build that trust so that when you do say something, people believe you. So that's kind of the gist of the book. And hopefully soon, within the next few weeks, knock on wood here, we are launching kindtransparency.com, which is the website that will promote and house Kind Transparency and other like blog information about just kind of the whole concept.
Awesome. We'll definitely link to that and try to get in my pre-order. Maybe I'll get an autographed copy. I'm just floating that out there. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. I definitely would love to have you on again to talk more about Kind Transparency specifically, because I think it's a robust but timely concept that I think more and more people need to learn as they get into leadership. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead and live. We'll see you next time.